Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, evening. This is Gwen Berry. I'm talking to you from South Florida, and this is the Sunday Show with Wayne Johnson and Jack Yodell and myself. We discuss the politics of the week here, abroad, everywhere. It's good. We've got three different points of view here. We do encourage you to call in and join the conversation. Gentlemen, I was just going to tell you before we went live that I have a little ditty I'd like to play. There's been quite a bit of stir up. I don't know if you all have been seeing it, about the question of feminism. It seems that many millennials and even some ex-gen folks don't really know what the meaning of a feminist is. And you have people like Katy Perry and even Carrie Underwood and Demi Moore saying that they've never really thought of themselves as feminists. Like feminists are some diesel dykes hanging out in a bar with a pack of cigarettes rolled up on their sleeve. I mean,
well, there's an image.
But,
well, you know, I think, Gwen, before you do that thing, I think one comment I'll make is that I think the reason that they're confused about it or don't know that much about it is that guys like Frank Luntz and Rush Limbaugh, with their feminazi talk and all this crazy stuff, have poisoned people's minds against a very noble and good and necessary movement. So let's hear what you have to play there, and let's revel in it.
Many of the men I know, including you guys, are feminists. So, I mean, okay, let me. This is a little ditty by a gal named Katie Goodman, a broad comedy. And it's really good.
I can't.
People.
You know, I think on a number of topics, feminism is very applicable to all people. On economic side, you know, it's absolutely ridiculous that in this country especially, women are paid, what, 77 or 78 cents on the dollar compared to what men's salaries are for comparable work? That's indefensible. That's just wrong.
They call it the glass thing.
They call it
what? I wanted to say was progressive professor has a blog site, and he's a professor down there. He's retired now from a university in the southern part of Florida there. Posted on his Facebook and his blog site, it was a religious sign for a church, like their banner of their sermon for the week was. It said, "Remember, Satan was the first one to ask for equal rights."
Oh.
And I thought, wow, right? Meanwhile, now on the other side, if I may flip the coin here, my daughter just got an A in a humanities class where she did her paper on gender bias.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she wrote it well, she spoke about it well, and you got an A on it and stuff. Gender bias in education. In other words, you know, don't steer the girls to the mathematics, that kind of stuff.
Well,
and,
you know, it seems like our society puts constraints on women, and it lets men just fly by free and easy. Not completely, but, for example, women are, from the time they're very small, they're bombarded with these images of how they're supposed to look and dress and behave and all this stuff, and men don't have that stuff. Christ, they're sold, they try to sell them certain kinds of clothes and stuff like that, but by and large, men escape all that nonsense. You don't have to worry about if you're too fat or you're too whatever, you know, not slim enough or not whatever, not cute enough, or you don't wear the right makeup. We don't even worry about that stuff.
You're right, Jack.
Nobody should have to. It's insane.
Although I would point out that these days, especially among millennials, the uncommon looking or the ugly duckling boys in the class go through a lot of hazing too. Boys and girls these days are geared towards, with all of the media that they are plugged into and everything.
Yeah, corporate media.
Well, yeah.
Trying to sell them products and looks and images. And it's shallow.
It is. It's very shallow.
I can remember even, you know, from a young lad, you know, here's the guy, he couldn't get the girl, she wouldn't give him the time of the day, he used Brill Cream, and by God,
Brill
she's all
cream,
over.
Brill Cream, little devil, do
you,
Brill
do
Cream.
You? There you go, Jack. Jack, you just told your age there, my friend.
She'll love to just run her fingers through your hair.
Yeah, or Vitalis. Another one was Vitalis. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Burma Shave signs on the road, did you?
Oh,
yeah.
God. Oh, Burma Shave, yeah, yeah. Burma Shave,
they're
actually
right?
Kind of entertaining.
And, of course, you didn't dare go out of the house without putting on first high karate.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that was back in the mid-60s.
Or JD's
so.
Or whatever
yeah.
You had, all that stuff they tried
yeah,
to sell you.
Yeah, JD's was another one, right?
Yeah. But that's just product-based.
No, no,
yeah, you didn't have to conform. You know, this for the supposed land of the free, we put up a lot of barriers to freedom in this country. Think about it. We really do. You can't be free. If you're free, people attack you. It's insane. It is just insane.
That's well put, Jack. It really is. If you're going to be different, you're either going to break out and lead the pack, or you're going to get stomped down and pulled you off.
I will say, either way, you've made yourself a lightning rod. I mean, just talking about being different, you know, Lady Gaga, her music was fantastic. She's still a very, very talented artist.
Yeah.
I loved when she did her aspects with Tony Bennett.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't have asked for a better complimentary voice to each other.
Yeah.
But she's still getting the lightning bolt strikes because of her earlier aspects.
And before her, Madonna received that same kind of stuff. I mean,
and
it's just,
sure. You know what?
People are so damn intolerant.
Guys, I do want to address the Lady Gaga thing because I like Lady Gaga. I think she's incredibly talented.
So do I.
She is one of the dumb bunnies who said she wasn't a feminist because she loves men. Okay? So
that's a misconception. That's a misconception.
Yeah, she's a huge feminist. She just needs to understand the definition more.
You know,
right.
Yeah, and realistically, from the very beginnings of feminism, before it was perverted by crazy input from Frank Luntz and Lee Atwater and whoever did it, Rush Limbaugh and all those knuckleheads.
Yeah.
I mean, the main attribute was for women to have the same freedoms as men, and
right.
That men enjoy and take for granted, and women have to fight for or be ostracized for. It's just insane, really.
Jack, let me give you a parallel here because this is something I do know about.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the 50s, late 50s, and early 60s, and even early 70s, when the teachers' unions were still very strong and had a voice, the woman or man got equal pay based on, you know, they had the same education,
right.
The same expense, you know, then.
That's the way it should have been.
Now that they have destroyed the unions in general, right? Also, and I'm attacking now teachers' unions very much because in many places they aren't even allowed to strike anymore. So they've lost the kind of collective voice that they had.
No leverage.
Now the women teachers in the same school are getting paid less than the men.
And what are the grounds for doing that, Wayne? How do they defend that?
Because they know
position.
That they know that they can browbeat the women down. And come up with some kind of, well, your evaluation wasn't this, you know, yada, yada, yada.
Oh,
and it's just a downward pressure on the teachers versus a male teacher. Male teacher won't put up with it. He'll tell them, you know, you're full of crap.
It all boils down to human rights, gentlemen. And
yeah, exactly.
A great case against human rights was signed into law this weekend by Indiana Governor Pence.
Oh, Mike Pence.
Oh,
boy, is he getting corporate fallout from that. All kinds of guys are not having their conventions now in Indiana. And these absolutist tactics that the Republicans are so fond of taking, they backfire every single time, and it's going to backfire big time for Indiana. And Mike Pence is one who deserves it.
Gentlemen, we actually have a caller online, so I'm going to open their mic and invite him to speak. 708 area code caller, are you there?
Yeah, hey, how you guys doing?
Hi, good.
All right.
Okay.
It's John O'Brien.
Who are we speaking with?
John O'Brien.
It's who?
I called in.
Hey, John. Oh, folks.
Called in before.
This is John O'Brien, a very good friend of mine. He's out in the Chicago area.
Yeah, good to hear from you, John.
John, welcome very much, man. I'm glad to hear your voice, buddy.
Hey, I had to call in just to hear the show. I don't know if I'm just computer illiterate or what, but I cannot navigate that Blog Talk Radio website.
Really?
Oh, really?
I'm glad maybe you can give him a hand there. I know he's asked me, and I didn't know what I could do to help him. So,
well, no. if you open up the show, if you click on the show, it should just open up your browser for you.
That doesn't.
Hmm.
It just takes me to the homepage. I could go to all the archive episodes you guys had, like last week and 2 weeks ago, but not.
Yeah.
It doesn't show
you
the live.
You live streaming, huh? Interesting.
That,
oh, wow.
That's
well,
weird.
I'll try. What browser do you use, John?
Google Chrome.
Okay.
Yeah. I was advised by Blog Talk Radio to quit using Chrome because I was having a few problems. I'm now using Fox for my Blog Talk Radio to broadcast and everything else. If you can use Firefox, give it a try. It might work for you better. But we're glad
hey,
to have.
Oh, okay.
I was going to say, John's a good man. I'll speak nothing but very highly of him.
Well, John, we're glad you called in today. We were talking about feminism for a bit there. You want to weigh in on that topic?
On feminism?
Feminism, yeah.
In regards
mm-hmm.
to what?
Well, just
well,
the
you,
topic
let,
of it.
Let me, I was going to say,
go
John,
ahead.
I
ahead
know
Wayne,
that,
tell him about it.
Yeah, well, first off is I know John has a daughter, and when she grows up and stuff, you would want her to have the same advantages of scholarships, equal pay when she got into the workforce as any male counterpart, correct?
Well, it's, yeah, very true. But as
right,
far
so.
As feminism itself, I mean, the way I was raised by my mother is for a woman to be independent, but she still liked it when my father opened the door for her.
Sure.
I don't think
well,
men need to forget their
courtesy.
I don't think men need to forget their manners.
Yeah, I was
yeah,
going
right.
to say, look, my mother raised me as a Southern gentleman, and I will still open a door for a lady coming through. That doesn't mean that I see her as less capable of opening the door. I see
right.
that as a common courtesy.
Yeah, I do too.
I would open the door for
it
any
is,
man too, coming in and out or something.
It is courtesy, but it swings both ways too, guys. You know, women can be courteous too. But
oh, very true.
It's awfully nice to see somebody open a door for a young lady. I haven't seen that, or an older lady, a broad like me, you know, but.
Oh, Gwen, I'd open the door for you anyway.
Well, Gwen, as long as they're not slamming them in our faces, right?
There you go, yes.
And that well,
I am also proud to say I'm probably in one of the few industries where women are actually paid equal to men, and that's in the building trade union.
Right, right. Well, I was going to say, because I also know John belongs to a construction union in the aspects he does. So, again, we're
well,
getting back
great.
To...
Yeah.
Right, and I'm very supportive of his union membership. Absolutely,
absolutely. Yeah, we need
actually,
more unions. That's
thing,
the reason
Jack,
everything's gone to hell. They've just
I got a funny story
unions.
For you.
Go
very
ahead.
Funny story for you. I spent pretty much all of February working up by you in Minnesota.
Is that right?
Oh, there you go, Jack.
Yeah, I was in Bloomington for
oh yeah, just
about the whole
me.
Month.
Just the next suburb south of me. Yeah. Holy cow! Where were you working?
There's I think the cross streets were American Boulevard West and Penn Avenue. There's
oh.
an Embassy Suites there.
That's less than 2 miles from me.
Yeah, I was staying there and working there for
yeah.
3.5 weeks.
It is
yeah,
a small world. In the middle
like
of winter, that's not
to.
not a fun task.
I'll yeah. be honest with you, I was surprised by the weather because it was actually warmer there than it was back here at home.
Yeah, you
oh,
know, it's
right?
funny because it's been a weird winter this year. We had a mild one this year. Last year was horrible, but this year was a lot better. So I'm glad you were able to experience that warmer winter than normal. Well, great. Now, what kind of construction were you doing, John?
I'm a tile setter.
Oh, okay.
So I was doing all the stacked stone, marble, limestone, and porcelain work.
Oh, okay, great.
It's so... I have a question for you. As I was putting it just before John came on, what do you think of fallout, or what do you think the implications are going to be, especially with campaign days right before us, on not only has Indiana done it with Mike Pence, but we have Arkansas prepared to put the same law into effect. And they're citing the old law that Clinton put in about religious freedom, which was done specifically for Native Americans. To ensure that
Twist it to their own needs anytime they can, you know. It's and the same, that smacks of the Hobby Lobby crap, you know. That, how insane, really. By that token, you know, it's supposed to be a separation of church and state, not church ruling over the state. That's what these guys want to do. They want to take any law they don't object to and apply a religious connotation to it so that they don't have to follow it. How insane.
Agreed.
Yeah, I don't know any better than that. I know George Washington, all the founding fathers were adamant about the separation of church and state because they saw from in recent history of in Europe, where a lot of the people of this country came from, the religious wars, France and England, the Hundred Year War was, you know, one was Catholic, one was Protestant, you know.
Sure, right.
Basically, and Henry VIII, when he decided he was going to become the head of the Church of England, anybody of the Catholic faith, boy, was so prosecuted. Monasteries and stuff were destroyed. They were executed because of their faith.
It's all because
Catholic.
The church wouldn't allow him to divorce, and he wanted a divorce because he didn't realize at that time that men determined the sex of the child, not the women. He thought it was the women, and he went through one wife after another trying to get a son, and he couldn't do it.
Well, he was so syphilitically diseased that even if the woman did conceive from him, the infant didn't live.
Yeah, right.
You know, so, really.
One little man.
He did have one daughter who became Elizabeth the First, as I recall.
Was mighty.
He had two, didn't he? Married Queen of Scots. No, I guess that was his wife, right? Queen Elizabeth, right? Married Queen of Scots. That's right.
You're right. Yeah.
Well, but she was like one of the first ones before he became so diseased, and you know, his disease would basically infect the and devastate the fetus.
Yeah. Holy cow.
Yeah.
And something else.
that's a brain scramble, and it really is.
We're talking about human rights, Gwen, and you were bringing up the acts against LGBT community. You know, just leave those people alone, for God's sakes. Live and let live. Why do we got to persecute so damn many people in this country? This is supposed to be the land of the free. It isn't the land of anarchy. It isn't the land of do whatever you want and to hell with everybody else. It's the land of, have laws and order, but let's have equal opportunity and let's have freedom. What is wrong
Jack,
with that? Why can't people grasp onto that?
I was going to say, Jack, I'll say that it's just human nature for a segment of the population to always be demonizing, driving down. I've got as a matter of fact, I've saved it on my cell phone here. It's a photo. It was about the 1930s, where here are all the Klansmen in full regalia going into the Baptist church because they were doing God's work of keeping those uppity, you know, N-words down.
Yeah, right.
You know,
yeah.
You know,
oh, yeah.
And that was all based, and they found religious aspects to justify that, too.
The point is that there's been such, you know, really in the last 50 years, there really has been a rolling thunder, if you will, of equal rights and humanitarian rights that have been brought into law after such fighting. It's not just gay, LGBT community rights.
Right.
It has to do with other groups of people that have been marginalized and isolated in society.
Yeah, anybody who's been marginalized, they all have rights, and they're all determined to have them, and who can blame them?
And this is not just the United States or an American
worldwide
phenomenon. Yeah. It is, but worldwide right now, you've got a huge dip to the right. Look what the Likud and Netanyahu were able to do just before the election in Israel. And right now, the French right wing is is positioning itself and pushing itself out. I mean, they just won a key local vote through the former president over there, Sarkozy.
Sarkozy, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Sarkozy was defeated by Hollande, and he's a socialist, so the other second socialist president in our generation. And so, you know, what it is there's a battleground going on. The right is acting up, and the left is coming to power and losing power and back and forth. It's a back and forth situation.
But it's very polarized, and people are watching this play out, and it's very much polarizing society. I mean, you can see it in social media, but you can see it on the streets too.
Sure.
I mean,
and let's look at the economies. Let's look at Greece was forced to undertake a very draconian austerity budget. They were living under it, and they rebelled. They couldn't stand it. So they elected a guy who came seemingly out of nowhere and overwhelmingly elected his party to refute, to get rid of all this austerity nonsense and to not go along with it. And they're beating their chests, and they're making noise about it, and good for them. And it's spreading into even Germany. The IMF is a big sponsor of these austerity measures. Angela Merkel is big behind it too, because Germany, you know, bears a lot of the brunt of paying for a lot of the what goes on in Europe. They have the healthiest economy and all that sort of thing, and they want to do Paul Ryan to everybody, and that's not good. That is not good by anybody's stretch of the imagination. And no wonder the Greeks are having a rebellion. They have a movement over there that you don't see on the mainstream media. It's called Blockupy, and it's growing in numbers. They had a big occupation, or big a block occupation of a IMF bank over there in Frankfurt, 25,000 strong. Good for them.
Right.
Blockupy, for people who don't know, is part of a European-wide network of various social movement activists, ultramundialists, migrants, jobless, precarious and industrious, and then school workers, party members, and unionists, and many more from different European countries, including Italy, Spain, Greece, Belgium, the Netherlands, Denmark, France, Germany, and there's other countries. And look at the great changes in Finland and Sweden and Iceland. Did you hear about the Swedish foreign minister and what she said to the Saudis about the Swedish foreign minister? I'll get this up for you. It's on my page here. It's really incredible what she did. She stood up to
the Saudi foreign minister, wasn't it?
The Saudi foreign minister, yeah. And you give me just a second here, and I'll have that information. I have to scroll down through the doggone stories here. She stood up to him. And did you know that Sweden produces a majority of the weapons that people like the Saudis are buying? A backlash followed the pattern set by Rushdie, the Danish cartoons, and Hebo. Saudi Arabia withdrew its ambassador and stopped issuing visas to Swedish businessmen. The United Arab Emirates joined them. She's a feminist foreign minister, and her name is Margot Wallström. She's the one who denounced the subjugation of women in Saudi Arabia.
Right, good for her.
Yeah, and I think it took great courage for her to do such a thing.
Oh, yeah.
And it takes a whole lot for the Swedish government to stand by her too.
Right.
Right.
So
The Swedes, you know, they've always been real progressive, and I give them a lot of credit for that. And they, when they see, you know, during the Vietnam War, they opposed America's meddling in Vietnam because a lot of it was corrupt and a lot of it was for profit and plunder, and a lot of it didn't do anything for anybody except kill people. And they were one of the early countries to come out against the U.S. Participation in the Vietnam War. So hats off to Sweden.
Yeah, it takes a lot. And going back to the inequality that is being jammed down people's throats by
the IMF and the right wing.
And the right wing in this country, like the Indiana governor, who just, he actually said today after getting off camera that he didn't anticipate the hostility that's been directed at his state. Well, like you said, Jack, there are a lot of corporations that are pulling their business, and there's even foundations in the state who are taking their business elsewhere.
It's going to blow up. You know, these are rash movements by the so-called conservatives. They're not really conservative. A conservative thinks, researches, does the proper homework before acting on anything, and they think about it and they mull it over and they talk to their associates. A radical reactionary just, it's got to be this way. Boom, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Boom. And they don't think about it. They act rashly. They act madly. And it blows up in their face 9 times out of 10. And that's what we're seeing.
Well, the point is that all of this weasel speak from this guy is about on This Week with Stephanopoulos. He got asked pointed, directed questions, and he did not answer them. Of course, he went off and started talking about Clinton passing a bill.
Oh, yeah, and Scott Walker pulls that bullshit, too.
Yeah, it was all a sidestep. But the thing that is really important to say here, I think, is that these jackbooted political thugs that are...
Good way to put it, yep.
...all across the world are not just Tea Party people or Republicans. They also fill a lot of Democrat seats. They're part of the whole corporate 1% chow down on people's, on people's ability to freely choose what they wish to choose. It's a human rights squashing, and it's coming from all kinds of directions. It's not just about, and it really isn't just about Republicans or Tea Party members. There's a lot of
It's people that aren't looking forward, people that have no vision, and people that want to keep things as they are because they're benefiting from it, and to hell with everybody else. It's a very bad way to have a philosophy and a very bad way to live and a horrible way to govern.
Yeah. I was going to say, Glenn, to support what you just said there, I know that on the Delmarva Peninsula there, you know, they were generations of being registered Democrats, but you'll find, you know, basically they're the old Klansmen, and these are Tea Partiers who are Democrats. You know, it's that same kind of a mindset. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, they switched over to the Republicans because in 1964, LBJ pushed for and got successfully the Voting Rights Act and the Civil Rights Act passed, and they didn't like that at all. So they took their allegiance to the Democratic Party and shifted it to the Republicans.
And Spiro Agnew, the governor of Maryland at that time, and I wrote about it on my old blogs called the Cambridge Convergence, where chronologically the Republican Party sent him around to all the southern states after LBJ had signed in the Civil Rights Act to demagogue the Democrats, and they're interfering with your life and their encroaching on
part of the Nixon
Southern
strategy.
Yeah, Southern, they called the Southern strategy, right? And
I think Lee Atwater devised that, didn't he?
No. That was before Lee Atwater.
Pat Buchanan,
who was on Nixon's staff before Nixon ran, said, "Hey, Nixon, you want to take a look at this guy?" No, Agnew was doing it on his own, you know, for the most part. And because he was doing such a good job of flipping the Democrat, the Southern Blue Dog Democrats to the Republican Party based on the Southern, you know, the attack on civil rights.
Right.
They made him then the vice president. Of course, he was corrupt as hell. And
oh, he was, and
that's, you know,
he had to resign because of his corruption. He was selling favors
exactly.
from the White House.
Exactly.
What a jerk.
Has anyone been keeping account of the plethora of candidates for the Republican ticket that are coming out?
Oh, the Republican clown car?
Oh. Yeah, that's right. Barton and Bailey should be so blessed with all the clowns they've got.
Oh,
I mean, we've even got that idiot Colin Serena saying today on Fox that there's a 90% chance she's going to run for, you know.
Who was that?
Carly.
She was head of Hewlett Packard.
Oh, Carly Fiorina, yeah.
Yeah, this
no, she's a knucklehead.
Claims to know. How to run a company, or how to run a country based on how she ran a company, Hewlett Packard.
Yeah, she's so full of crap.
She paid off 30,000 employees to slim
right,
down,
right.
And, you know, the cost overheads for profiteering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She purged American jobs and sent them all over to India and China. That was a
sure.
big move for her, right? That was one of them, right? So,
true. I mean,
oh,
you got
that crazy Scott Walker who's evil. You got that insane Ted Cruz. Even most Republicans can't stand him.
Here's a guy who throws his hat into the ring at what we loosely identify as university, Liberty University.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
This is where he kicks off at. I mean,
well,
you know.
He's trying. You know what he's trying to do? He's trying to get all Mike Huckabee's evangelical hardcore right wingers. That's what he's trying to do, and I just revile that guy. He's so insincere.
Well,
oh, here's
I gotta be honest
he's
with
so
you.
He's so against Obamacare. He's so against the Affordable Care Act. But all of a sudden, his wife decided to quit her job at where they have
right.
one of those Wall Street banks.
She was on the board and had to resign because he was running.
Yeah, that's right.
So the
yeah.
only means
well,
that his family was getting insurance was through the Affordable Health Care. Here's the other thing I want to point out. Ted Cruz was born in Canada. Ted Cruz was born in Canada. He says, well, I've renounced my Canadian citizenship. Doesn't matter.
Right.
You were not born in this country.
That's right.
You
exactly.
cannot even run for president.
John.
You are not a natural
that,
born. Right.
John,
that's why I'm glad he's running, because now I could stop listening to all the birther bullshit crap about
Obama.
Boy,
that, exactly.
There you go.
Yeah. Thank you, John. Thank you. You said it very well.
Well,
yep.
you know, they're asking for his birth certificate already on the Late Show, so.
And then you got that absolutely insane physician Ben Carson. That guy's, I don't know, he's wacko, man. Where do these people come from, Michelle?
You know,
Bachman,
I think you guys
Palin,
are really
Ben
underestimating. I think everyone's underestimating all that. We could see a Republican president. I mean, I was shocked when the Republicans took the Congress over.
Not me.
That's gerrymandering. Gerrymandering and fear-mongering.
I was going to say, here's the other thing, too, John. The ratio of the amount of Democratic seats that were up for election were vastly
right.
outnumbering those few, though the Republicans were there.
Very true.
Now,
good point.
Now, the inverse
yeah.
is going to be here in 2016.
That's right.
All the Republicans are going to be up. Rand Paul is going to resign his Senate seat to run for the president, and who else? Is it Ted Cruz?
Rubio.
Thank you.
Oh,
thank
good.
Rubio is going
good
to be
riddance.
Resigning here. So there's two Republican seats. Plus two
here.
Is...
Already been to the seat.
I'm sorry, say that again, Gwen.
Our Democrat down here, Patrick Murphy, is already bidding for the seat after 1 year
yeah.
as a congressman. He ran and won against that idiot West, Alan West.
Oh, God.
yeah.
Well, John, what I was going to say is politics swings like a pendulum. The farther
right.
you push it in one direction, the farther she's going to swing back in the other.
That's
you
a good
will
point.
See the Democrats retake the House and the Senate, or definitely the Senate and potentially the House
mm-hmm.
in 2016. Because, number one, it's a national election. People who normally don't come out in the midterm elections all will be coming out this time, and you're going to get, instead of 18% of the voting public deciding, you know, who's going to be their congressman or senator and things like that, now you're
right.
going to have a much larger demographics of the population
right.
voting.
And that's, and that's why the Republicans, the conservatives, are so furiously trying to disenfranchise as many minorities or typical Democratic voters as they can, as many ways as they can. They're trying to deny students the right to vote. I mean, it's just unbelievable what they're pulling and the gerrymandering they've been pulling. They're trying to do everything they can to ensure Republicans win as many seats as they can. And, you know, it's worked, but it won't work forever.
Well, Wayne, I hope you're right. Because the way the political structure of this country is going, it's concerning for sure.
Well, and look at the Koch brothers. They're going to pour $899 million into various races around the country. They want it all, man. They want lock, stock, and barrel. They want the presidency. They want control of Congress. They want control of individual state houses. They're malignant, and they got to be stopped.
It's called a purchase oligarchy.
Purchase all. Yeah, good point. Yep, very true. Good name.
Well, really, I mean, when you consider, nobody's considering that anybody else is going to run for the Democratic ticket. I mean, a lot of people would like to see Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders.
Bernie Sanders. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mike, your governor, John.
O'Malley.
Not John.
Wayne.
Yeah, Wayne. Your governor.
Yeah, Martin O'Malley.
Yeah,
Michael
he's
O'Malley.
Considering
yeah.
a run.
Yeah,
and
so.
While they may not win, they'll at least force Hillary Clinton to go a little bit more to the left.
Right. And, John, also, too, a little bit of a fig, an FYI for you. Lacey, the dog, you know who I'm talking about? The blogger Lacey?
Yeah, from Britain.
Okay, well, he was, you know, when he was an attaché with the British military in Washington, D.C., he was getting his law degree, and Martin O'Malley was one of his classmates.
Hmm.
Yeah, so, and I think, Jack, you would know Lacey the dog. He's on,
yeah.
coached quite often on Mudrake and the other.
Mudrake, yeah, sites. Yeah, I've seen
yeah,
him, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah good,
so.
Great.
Gentlemen, what do you think is going to be the Democrat side of this election this time? Warren has already said she's not going to at all put herself into the position of running. She likes her Senate. And Bernie Sanders, I would be very surprised.
Yeah.
Well, he's going to run as a Democrat, but he's not going to get it. All he's going to do is he's going to exert some pressure on Hillary Clinton to adopt some of the left-wing platform. And how successful he'll be, who knows? I hope he's very successful because Hillary, mm-hmm. she's way too much of a corpus in my book.
Yeah,
and, you know, we've had enough of that crap.
Yeah, but, Jack, the point is that it won't change her governing one bit. What she says to get elected to that office, I'm going to say.
Oh, and what she does, exactly.
Jack,
yeah.
You're going to be a mountain of lies just like Barack Obama.
Exactly. There's no relief from that. There's no relief from the lying. There's none. I mean, Bernie might not lie that much, or Elizabeth Warren might not lie that much, but, you know, they're not getting elected either, so.
Well, I'll just say that it all depends on how much damage the Republicans can do. You know, they'll keep pounding on Benghazi. They
yeah,
keep
oh, yeah.
pounding on this, you know, that, oh, well, she had
on Hillary's emails.
Personal server, right? Well, the thing
yeah,
was,
Jesus
so
Christ.
Did, oh, gee, I just threw a blank
Colin Powell.
On his name. Colin Powell. Colin Powell did the same thing.
Yeah.
So, you know,
well,
you know it, but, you know, they'll whip it up with Hillary.
There's another viable candidate here, too. There's Dr. Jill Stein. And she's already campaigning, and she's already
That's
done
great, but you know what, honey? She doesn't have a snowball's chance in hell. I'll say it right now. She doesn't.
Jack, you know, is just going down that street that makes it all sort of like not pushing forward.
I voted for her in 2012.
Good for you.
Good man.
I wish we had a whole country like that, but we don't.
Well, I'm
going to
say
that.
I I see that we have limited possibilities with the what we call now on the social media side the lote vote, the lesser of two evils bullshit. You know,
yeah,
you're
terrible.
Going to vote for blue or red? Why? Why would you do that? Why would you do that when they're completely against your own values and ethics? Because
that's why we need a big upheaval, and it's slow in coming, but I'd like to see it. But it is slow in coming. There aren't billions of people out there declaring themselves Greens. It's not happening. There's more than there used to be, and it's a growing number, but it's not an avalanche. Gwen, we need an avalanche.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, here's the other thing, too.
An avalanche is when folks say, okay, I'm not going to play the old game anymore. I'm going to put my ethics, my values, my integrity into my vote, and I'm going to vote for who I think will be the best.
Well, it won't happen by 2016, Gwen. I'll guarantee you that.
It probably
I'll also say...
But,
I'd also say, too, that it's a catch-22. Ralph Nader split the vote in Florida, and because of that, he ended up with 8 years of W. Bush, who destroyed this country's economy. So I just saw a statistic here, an actual fact. I won't say statistic, that one quarter of the money that we spent just in Iraq could have financed the Social Security, Medicare, and all the retirement aspects for the next 75 years, just 25% of what we spent in Iraq.
Obama didn't get that done either, did he? He got a sense of humor.
I'm sorry, say that again?
Obama didn't get that done either. It's been nothing but war, and if you keep voting for these same guys, it's going to be nothing but war. Doesn't matter which side of the street, you're just going to get nothing but war. So lesser of two evils voting, I think, is just, it's, I would rather plow the road. I would rather be one of the ones that plows the road and says, you know what, this is where I'm going to go.
Well, I can respect that, Gwen. I really, really can.
Yeah, I can too.
Yeah, so.
You know, I don't mean to be argumentative and convincing. I'm just being argumentative and saying, you know what, I think you guys have great values and ethics in your politics, and hey, I share the hour with you every Sunday. We all sit here equally sharing with one another, and it's a good thing. So your opinion has merit. I get that. Lesser of two evils voting has merit for some folks. I get that. For me, it's about, I'm shutting that door.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
well,
shut it
when we need the whole country to do that, and it won't happen in 1 year or a year and a half or 2 years.
I agree.
We need that to happen. That's what we got to work towards. We've got to work towards that.
I agree.
We've got to work toward the restoration of one party that actually represents the most of the people in the country, the workers, the disenfranchised, the minorities, the marginalized. We need those are the majority, and they are not being represented at all.
Well, you know what? An integer you left out of that equation of voters, Jack, I would say, is the very home we have, the earth. Somebody's got to be voting for the earth.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, the environmental laws have been so. The Halliburton law, where fracking industry does not fall subservient to the Clean Water Act, and that is such an atrocity.
Danny can burn in hell for all time for that, among other things. He's a war criminal. That's a very valid point, Gwen. I agree with you
100%. Even the laws on the books are being like, you know, it's almost like they've been instructed to look the other way. We got to be business friendly, you know. Well, you know, I think,
as friendly, let me tell you, from the side of a little mom and pop organization here, I make my living from people who wish to purchase something that I can provide them. But if I were to count on my legislators to treat me fairly and to see that I'm given what I need to grow and be prosperous, I'm in the boat that's called shit out of luck.
Oh, exactly, and you know that's one reason for that, Gwen. You're not in the position to donate $50,000 or $100,000 or $200 million to their campaign. That's the problem. Money is corrupting politics.
You are still working middle class, even though you have your own business.
Right.
You fall in that stratification of working middle class. And right now, for the last 30-some years, the working middle class has been constantly handed the stinky end of the stick.
Oh, yeah, big time.
Well,
they've been taken advantage of. They've been taken advantage of big time.
Reagan on.
Yep.
But perhaps this lack, I've seen a phenomenon, and maybe you guys have too, because I know Jack, Wayne, both of you are quite capable of having your own little business startups to make money. Entrepreneurial skills of the everyday person are getting polished simply because they have to now. In order to survive.
Right.
You know, and we're becoming more self-sustainable, and that's teaching people lessons not only about themselves in their own homes, but also about their communities, and thereby teach a lesson about politics.
Well, you know, that's a very good point, Glenn, because you constantly bring it up is act locally.
Yeah, very true.
You know.
Sorry.
And that's also been the lesson, you know, that they've tried to impose on a lot of people. In other words, in economically deprived areas, it's like, you know, I'll just throw Harlem out as an example, is the true survival of a neighborhood such as that is to support your local business, support your local grocery.
And there's been
a pharmacy.
Great uptick in activity among local stall standard vegetable stands and things like that in New York City. Giuliani shut them down. That other guy right after him, that billionaire, he frowned on them and fined them a lot. But the new guy in New York City is allowing them to flourish, and they're springing up all over the place, and it's a good thing.
Right.
We have that
vegetable and fruit stands and every kind of stand you can imagine.
Yeah, we have that going on around here, too.
That's very healthy and very good.
We also, just one of the reasons that I'm pushing so hard for stepping outside the norm and not voting for the same old, is that we just had a couple of activists get voted right in to the city commission because they went out, they talked to the people, they brought up the issues. And they spoke about what they hoped they could do and got elected. So
just like Sawant did in Seattle, got elected to the city council amid all those Democrats.
Correct.
And she has been she pushed real hard and successfully got a $15 an hour minimum wage in Seattle.
That's very good.
Absolutely stunning. But Seattle is one of those cities where people actually seem to have some more critical thought going on, I think.
Oh, yeah, exactly. That's what it takes. That's very true. But part of that
I
is
have
education.
A niece that lives in Seattle.
She's not shy about educating the public. You've got to do that.
Right.
I know, Gwen, you've done that a lot. It's part of being an activist.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, I suppose you could say I'm just a bullshit salesman with a mouthful of samples.
No, you're not selling bullshit. No.
My son just jumped right into me.
That's funny. It's funny, but it's not really true.
No, but you know, that is how you get people's attention. You go out and make friends. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
You do. If you want to
catch a lot more honey with vinegar than you will with, or a lot more flies with vinegar than you, with honey than you will with vinegar. Simple as that.
There you go. There you go.
I got it right, finally.
If we stop polarizing each other and isolating each other via our differences.
Look for common ground.
Yeah.
Amy Goodman preaches that
Absolutely.
All the time. Look for common ground and build from there. You've got to.
Right.
Exactly. Absolutely. John, how's it going in your neighborhood?
Oh, it's just going lovely. Yeah, the lovely state I live in elected a Republican governor.
Yeah, terrible one, too.
First time in about 12, 14 years, and his platform was nothing. He was just going to fix Illinois. He didn't tell you how he was going to do it, but he's going to do it.
Yeah.
That's why
I wonder how long before he gets thrown in jail, huh, John?
They scare me. Do what?
I wonder how long before he gets thrown in jail. You've had a bad time with Illinois governors, Democrat and Republican, getting thrown in jail.
Oh, yeah. I love it. I love it. That's Chicago. you guys might send your governors on to, like, you know, nationwide political scenes or lecture tours. We send ours to the plink.
Well, he get nailed on corruption charges. Yeah. Though. And Rahm Emanuel, he's no shining knight in armor. Boy, that guy, he's something.
You know
else,
what?
Isn't he?
That guy, when the head of the Chicago Teachers Union was going to run,
right?
Yeah. She was diagnosed, Karen Lewis.
Yeah,
she was diagnosed with brain cancer, so that's why she decided not to run. But I think she would have won.
Yeah. She might have. Yeah.
Yeah, no,
she deferred to another fellow, a Hispanic fellow, and he came very close. It was a big surprise to Rahm Emanuel.
No, he forced a runoff.
He did, that's right.
There's going to be a runoff election in April because big Rombo didn't get the 50% vote he needed.
That's right.
The ghost of Tammany Hall sort of misdirected itself and ended up in Chicago.
It did that with Mayor Daley years ago, before him, of course, but that's going back ways.
Yeah, my father used to tell me that that old man Daley pretty much controlled the country
He really did. He really did.
I was going to say.
That's
very powerful.
That is just creepy.
I know the Kennedys needed him.
They sure did.
Gentlemen, we're almost out of time, so I would invite you right now. Wayne, why don't you tell people how they can find you online?
All right, very good. My blog site is Minds, MINDS, and Times, TIMES, of F. Wayne Johnson. And like I said, on there I can talk about some of the being an active Republican and just actively politically and environmentally some of my first-hand experiences. I had a one-on-one-hour conversation with Jack Kemp, right, you know, shortly after he and Bob Dole lost their election. And I was warning him back then of embracing this reactionary right, i.e. the old Klansmen, to get the voting numbers out. And, you know, of course, it wasn't heeded, and now they're trying to purge them out. I told them that you're going to have an issue eventually trying to purge this radicalism, this reactionaryism out of the Republican Party. It's going to give us a bad name.
Thank you. Jack?
You can find me at the Saturday Afternoon Post, and look for my blog coming out about Wednesday or Thursday at the latest. It's going to be on a brand new topic called the People's Budget. It's very exciting, and it's an alternative budget to this nonsense that Paul Ryan and all the hardcore Republican right are foisting on this country. This is not austerity that I'm in favor of, and neither is the People's Budget. It's fascinating. It deserves consideration, not only by us, the voters, the people that actually put this country together and keep it going, but also by our legislators, and I'm encouraging everybody to get in contact with their legislators after reading this blog. It's going to inspire you, I guarantee you.
Thank you, John.
You bet. Thank you, Gwen.
Thank you for joining us today, John. John O'Brien, and come back anytime. And,
yes, well, thank you.
I remind everybody that we are sponsored by Roundtree7. That's the number 7.com. And check out what they've got to say over there. Lots of good stuff. And that would be the conclusion of the Sunday show for this week. And Jack, I'll let you
go. Well, happy Easter, everybody. Next week, I won't be with you, but I don't know if you'll have a show or not. But
No.
I would say happy Easter to all.
Yep.
Happy Easter.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
Everybody, keep pushing forward.
Keep pushing forward. That's right.
Okay. Thanks, Jack. Happy Easter.
Same to you, Gwen. Have a great time. See you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.